How did it find a Super Bowl Christian? And I feel that this house this morning is full of some Super Bowl Christians. Amen? That's pitiful. You didn't have faith and confidence in yourself to even think you're a Super Bowl Christian. Do I got any Super Bowl Christians in the house today? Yeah. Amen. All right. That's a little bit better. I'm glad that you have confidence in you because I do. Amen. So we'll be talking about those five characteristics, those five traits in Super Bowl teams and define it as a Super Bowl Christian. We're going to talk about desire and discipline and determination and denial and distinction on those five traits there about how we can relate to that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings again to be upon the service, upon the reading of His Word. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the excitement in the air. Again, the Lord, we thank You for the growth that we're experiencing at this church. And Father, just over 100 people in Sunday school, the Lord. And Father, just outgrowing every arena and every aspect of every ministry here. And it's nothing short of a miracle in the hand of God, the Lord. Nothing short of You being here, the Lord. And Father God, we are so thankful for what You're doing. So thankful for what's going on in the ministry and Your will and Your way being done here today, Father, and being done in this congregation. And Lord, we just pray that Your blessings will be upon everything that we say and do. Father, that we'll bring our bodies and our minds and our spirits under total submission and subjection to the power and authority and the presence of God, the Lord. And Father, that You control our thoughts and our mouth. And Father, our ears bless us to hear and our mouths to be slow to speak, the Lord. And may You just bring everything under control, under the leadership and authority of You, the Lord. And Father, that Your will and way will be done in this church and the life of us as individuals and each every one of us, Father, Lord, with the same goal and the same achievements and accomplishments that we want to see, the Lord, is for Your kingdom to grow and for folks to be saved and souls to be touched and lives to be changed, the Lord. And Father God, we thank You for that excitement and that sweet spirit that You give us here at Crossroads, the Lord, and evident of that spirit and the love that You have here for this church and the love that the people have for You and for one another. Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Father God, as we open up Your word today, I pray that you bind Satan up, his demons, and cast them outside the service, the Lord. And Father, just let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move as He's already been moving and working in our soul service, the Lord. And Father, we just thank You for what You're going to do. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary today. Fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Bless me to speak the words that You would have me to say, the Lord, that'll be pleasing and honoring to Your Son today. May Your words convict us, the Lord. May it change our hearts, our minds, and our souls. If there's some that doesn't know Jesus today as Lord and Savior, Father, may You prick their heart. May they come forward today seeking that opportunity to make You Lord of their life. If there's folks here looking for a church home, Father, may they get that settled in their mind today that, Father, this is where You would have them to be. Lord, I pray that You take this time, make it special. Father, it's Your service, it's Your church, it's Your people. Father, we dedicate it and give it all to You. We give this word to You, the Lord, and ask for Your blessings to be upon it. Father, may we have a great day in You. We're going to thank You in advance for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And we got talking about some things here and some statistics and stuff that I'll bring up and look at and read to you today and talk about those things and how it relates to Super Bowl and things of that nature. And I just want to say God is blessing this church in a great and mighty way, folks. We are growing in leaps and bounds. Every arena of every Sunday school is out of space. God is blessing us to birth some new classes that will be coming out, more age appropriated for some of you other guys to join in on us, to free up some space. It's just an amazing opportunity of what God is doing and the blessings that God was doing. I know, Brad, where you at? Miss Gloria there, and there's some old folks here that when I came, Brad, you got some. Miss Gloria, come here for a minute. And Ms. Mary, come here. These guys were here when I came on board. Brad, where you at? You sitting back there like I ain't called you or something. Get on up here. And here these guys were. When we first come here, this morning we were in a Sunday school class that probably had 30 or 40 people in there. And it was amazing. I turned around and I said, when we first came here, there were more people in that Sunday school classroom than there was in worship service. Amen. There were days that we could have fit our worship service and did fit the worship service right there in that foyer, praying and looking out those windows for God to send us a crowd like this, for God to send us some folks like this. Amen. There were days that we were doing this. Now, some of these folks are in Sunday school classes that have more in their Sunday school classrooms than what we had in the year and a half that I first came here. It's amazing growth. Thank you, guys. Amazing growth that is experienced, and God is blessing. And these folks are just some of the old ones I pulled out of the crowd. That when we first came here, there were 12 people here faithfully attending. And now look what God is doing. And so we're growing in leaps and bounds and birthing new classes and making them more age appropriate. And I need you to pray for me. I'm praying for you. Because sometimes when it's called change in a Baptist church, they want to take out the razor and shave your head. So pray for me, you know, and pray for God's will to be done and for God, you know, to be get the honor and glory out of these new classes that are being birthed and the growth that is experiencing. And some of them are going to have to meet in here. It's just an amazing thing. Amazing what God is doing. We got the bill, you know, and there was a chart that when you came in that's in the foyer that you'll see that we've already raised over $20,000 in 3 months. Give yourself a hand, you know, what God is doing. Amazing, and that's the reason I got funky hair, you know, in case y'all visiting in here. There's a little paper back there. It has a write-up about my hair in there and about what God is doing and the youth raising their money. But it's an exciting time, just as exciting as what it is going to be for Super Bowl Sunday today. There was a joke. It says St. Peter and Satan were having an argument one day about football. This goes on and on with both arguing. Who would field the best team? Who had the best team put together on the field? Satan proposed a game to be played on neutral ground between a select team from the heavenly host and his own handpicked boys. Very well, said the gatekeeper of heaven, but you realize, I hope, that we've got all the good players and the best coaches. And Satan said, I know, that's right, answered Satan, unperturbed. But we've got all the officials. You get that one later on. Some of the things that we looked up for Super Bowl. Some of the things that we found determined Super Bowl and what's going on. It 46 people here, photos that will be taken in the Super Bowl arena. 1.25 billion. 1.25 billion of chicken wings will be consumed today. 1.25 billion. Why did you and I come up and create chicken wings? Because we could build a church of a future off of 1.25 billion chicken wings if we just charged a dollar a wing. Whoo, man, I'm telling you. So you know how much antacids would be sold tomorrow. And Pepto-Bismol and Milax and Molex and whatever else Lex will be going on. 1.25 billion. 68,000 seats inside Lucas Oil Stadium. 68,000 seats inside Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis will be filled today. 17.5% of them will be given to each team to just sell to their family members and friends. 4,000. Is the average price of a Super Bowl ticket. $4,000, that's just an average price. $4,000 for one ticket will be the average price of the Super Bowl. There will be over 19 hours of live Super Bowl coverage. You can be subject to yourself if you dare to watch. 19 hours worth. There's $25,000 that costs to go into making the Vince Lombardi Trophy. $25,000. That is sterling silver from top to bottom. And that little trophy right there today that will be presented to the winning team is over $25,000 to build that. There are 13,000 hotel rooms alone in Indianapolis that are sold out. There will be 150 Super Bowl rings that will be distributed. You had to put Pittsburgh up there, didn't you? There's some Pittsburgh Steeler fans up here. I seen them singing on the stage earlier. That's the media man right there. 150 Super Bowl rings will be distributed at a minimum cost of $50,000 a ring. 150 rings will be distributed at a cost of around $50,000 a wing. there will be a $3.5 to $4 million price tag on a 30-second commercial. $3.5 million to $4 million on a price tag for a 30-second commercial that will be aired. Man, I'm telling you. There will be an anticipation of 111 million television viewers today. 111 million people will be watching Super Bowl today. There will be 48 minutes of commercials on Fox TV. And it is estimated that there will be 11 billion consumers expected to be a part of Super Bowl today, will generate today $11 billion. And that's just a few things. It starts at 6:30. A few things of what is going on with Super Bowl. Also, the bonuses for each team. The big cash bonus for each player playing in that team will win. The winning team will win an $88,000 bonus for the winning team, each player. The losing team, which is not shabby, the losing team will earn $44,000 for each player. But they are winners in their own because they won their division. It's amazing what Super Bowl is going to generate today. Amazing of what's going to happen. Amazing with those statistics being given. We want to look at, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 24 through 27. We're going to look at Philippians 3 and then look at verses 12 through 14. So 1 Corinthians 9, and verse 24 through 27 says this. Says, know you not that they which run in a race won all, but one receiveth the prize. So one that you may obtain. I can promise you there's going to be two teams today playing to run to win a prize. Everybody is playing to win the Vince Lombardi trophy. Everybody is playing to win that $88,000 bonus. Everybody is playing to win those Super Bowl rings that they're going to have today. And so they're going to run that they may obtain. In verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And in Philippians 3, in verses 12 through 14, says this. Says, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Corinthians, this verse of scripture that Paul is dealing with, in the Corinth arena, Paul is speaking of the Isthmian games that were being played and held every 2 years in Corinth. There were athletes that would compete, and you know what they were competing for? A crown of what? A crown of, amen, who said that? Absolutely, it was a crown of leaves. They were the Isthmian games that Paul was talking about, and every year they would compete, and they would compete for a crown of leaves, for leaves to be put in their head. However, Paul was encouraging the Christians to compete for a prize with a more lasting significance. A prize with more lasting significance. Here we're facing Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday. When we get out of church this morning, we're going to go out and we're going to fellowship and we're going to have a tailgate party and enjoy today and the day's event. The first thing, if you're taking notes, that I want you to remember as the five things we talked about. The first trait of a Super Bowl Christian is a desire. The first trait of a Super Bowl Christian is a desire. You've got to have a desire. Just as these two teams and the Giants and the Patriots, they square off today, there's going to be a desire for them to win. They're going to have a desire that they want to win this trophy, a desire that God is going to be in the center of what they're going to, not God, but a ball and a ring and a trophy. They're going to have so much desire to go for that thing. They're going to be geared up. They're going to be amped up. They might have took one of them 5-hour energy drinks or whatever they are, and they probably goggled a whole bunch of them things down so that they can be on their game. And I don't know, drinking all the Gatorade they can get and all the Snicker bars that can come on, and man, hit that field and they're going to be so jacked up that they'll run 100 miles an hour all day long. They got to be amped up, got to be ready. They got to have a desire to win the game. Paul says in these verses of scripture we have read, Paul says, run to win. He says, run the race. In verse 24 in chapter 9 again, he says, I know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Here we see there is a desire. Paul is saying, run to win. A desire is wanting something. A great desire is wanting something so bad that you can taste it. And I promise you, when you see the Giants and the Patriots hit the field today, they're going to have a taste in their mouth. They're going to run. They're going to have a desire that is so strong within them that they're going to have a taste that they can taste that trophy. They can taste those rings. They can taste that money. They're going to be geared up playing like they've never played before. Why can't we as Christian men and women have such a desire like we're going to see these teams have today, that we're going to do everything we can in our power to see God's kingdom grown, to see God's ministry go forward, to see God working and moving in a great and mighty way. It takes desire on your part. It takes desire on my part to make it happen. We've got to have that desire. A desire to move forward. A desire to push forward. A desire, my friend, to say we ain't going to let Satan deter us. We're not going to let Satan defeat us. We're not going to let Satan stand in the way of us. We're going to knock him over in the power and the presence of the Lord. And we're going to accomplish what God has set out for us to do, my friends, and make Satan just a bump in the road when we push him out of the way. My friend, we got to have a desire. A desire to work together as a body of believers in God's house. A desire to work together as a team, my friend. There's going to be two teams playing today. If you are on one team, the Giants, and you're on the other team, the Patriots, my friend, and you're playing ball. Come on up here, Jacob. Come on up here for a minute. Come on. You come up here. There's going to be a desire to win. Now, if he's sitting there hiking the ball to me, come here, Jacob. Stand over here. You're going to be my tight end. Hike it over my head. All right, we on the same team. By the way, they ain't going to be too high to do. We're on the same team, and we're playing. And here we are. We're the Giants. All right, and we only got 5 yards to go for a touchdown. Now I'm thinking we got an awesome team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Together we drove this ball all the way down to the field and we only got 5 yards to go. What an amazing team. All of a sudden, what's your name? Austin. All of a sudden, Austin. I forgot where I was at for a minute. I was fizzing and calling somebody else he wasn't. All of a sudden, Austin decides, you know what? I don't care if we make that touchdown or not. Here we go. Down, set, hike. Now here's the defensive player. He gets up, and he takes off. Here's Jacob running, and here's Austin standing behind. There's Austin. There's Austin standing behind. Now, do you think Jacob and me going to think Austin's on our team at this present time? We fixing to kick Austin over to the Patriots side because he ain't hiking the ball for me no more. Sit down for a minute. You got to have a desire. You got to have a desire to win, a desire to be a part of the team, a desire that when Austin has the ball, Jacob has the ball. Come down here. A desire that when the quarterback comes up and goes to, and the center goes to hike the ball down, set, hut, hike. That it comes right to him, and the ball is thrown, and the touchdown is made, man. Gotta have a desire. Gotta have a desire to work as a team. Gotta have a desire to get it. Psalms 42:1 says, as the hart panteth the water brooks, So panteth my soul after thee, O God, having a desire to want more of the Lord, having a desire to want to be a part of a team, Team Jesus that's on the move around here at this church, Team Jesus that's on the way. But I can tell you something, with the birthing of the new classes, I can tell you with the birthing these new age appropriated classes and the things that we got to do and things we got to implement, I can tell you Satan ain't going to like what we're doing. And he's going to want to try to throw opposition in. He's going to try to block everything that's being done. And the only way he can do that is if you and I give him a crack and open the door and let him in. That's the only way he can stop forward progress of making the touchdown. That's the only way he can do it. We need to be prayed up. We need to be studied up. We need to have a desire that we want to see God's kingdom grown. A desire that we want to be the Christians that God has designed and desired for you and me to do. A desire that we want to win for Jesus and be on his team. A desire just as that deer panteth after the water of the brooks. He says, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. We got to have a desire to make Jesus Lord of our life. Such a desire for God, it should compel us and propel us into run with all that we have. Unfortunately, instead of going for the gold, so many times we settle for the silver and bronze. As Brother Kent said this morning, you know, a fish is only going to grow in the tank that it's in. It will never outgrow or never get any bigger than the tank in the space that it is in. In order for it to grow, in order for us to minister, in order for us to do what God is doing, we've got to think outside the small little tank we're in. Oh, we're always going to be right here. We got to have a vision, which I've shared with you. We got to have a dream of expanding our borders, as the prayer Jabez said. Expanding our borders, expanding our coast, and seeing what the Lord will have us to do. We're only going to be as big as the tank you're in. And I got some of 40 of you in one classroom. You can't fit another one in there unless we get a baby somewhere to put in the middle of you. You got to grow, got to think, got to have that desire to want to see God's kingdom built, to want to see it grow. And so many times we settle for the silver or bronze. In fact, I'm convinced that most believers never venture out, my friend, far past the starting line. Instead of straining and pressing on, we get comfortable to stay where we're at and want to sit on the sideline. Get off the sideline and get in the game. We got a game to win for Jesus. Get in there. Get a desire in your stomach, a desire in your heart. Catch the vision that's placed all on these walls around here, placed on the front. Catch it. We got a team we're building here for Jesus. We got a kingdom we're building. We've got to have a desire to reach out, my friend, beyond these walls. Reach out and get out of the fishbowl. Knock down the walls and expand and grow Jesus' kingdom. It's about kingdom work. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about King Jesus. Amen. We got to have a desire. A desire. A desire. Amen. A desire. Yet desire alone is not sufficient enough. Desire only takes shape when they're accompanied by discipline. A lot of us desire to get into shape. A lot of us desire. A lot of us desire to get in shape. But without discipline, it won't ever happen. You have a desire. Without discipline yourself for that desire, it won't ever happen. The old saying is, I may have the wanna, but if I don't have the gotta, I'm never going to have the getta. Amen. That's just a country way of putting it. Oh, we might have the wanna, but if we don't have the gotta, we're never going to getta. Get her done. Amen. We got a team to do for Jesus. Team Jesus. Not only that, number one was desire to be that Super Bowl Christian. We got to have a desire. Number two, the second trait of a Super Bowl Christian is discipline. Discipline is the fuel of success, my friends. You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but without gas, you ain't going nowhere. Amen. You might be the prettiest car in the showroom, but if you ain't got no gas in the tank, you ain't going nowhere. I don't want a bunch of pretties. I want some folks with some fueled up, gassed up, in the tank and full tank and ready to go. Amen. We got a desire to do. We got to be disciplined. Disciplined in what the Lord wants us to do. Without discipline in the Christian life, you will never grow. Without discipline, being disciplined to study God's word, being disciplined to pray, being disciplined to be in church and be excited about what God is doing, being disciplined to give when you don't have it to give, being disciplined in every aspect of your life, time, talents, treasures, and things of that nature, being disciplined, you've got to be prayed up and studied up, or else you're going to be defeated by Team Satan if you're not. You've got to be fueled up. How can you get that fuel? As I said, you could be the prettiest car in the showroom. Without the fuel, you're going nowhere. How do you get the fuel? By being in God's house. By being in God's word. By singing the praises to the Lord. By having prayer with Him. By having a daily quiet time with Him. It fuels you up. It gives you the energy you need to keep on going, my friends. Because I'm promising you, this old world will try to rob you of your joy, will try to zap your fuel, will start to stop you and stifling you out from being an effective Christian, my friends. We've got to be prayed up, studied up, fueled up for the Lord, my friend, and going and doing what God has in store for us to do. Oh, listen to me. The attempt to live a Christian life without spiritual discipline would be like me climbing into the ring with Lennox Lewis. Somebody's going to get hurt, and they're going to hit hurt real bad. I just feel sorry for Lennox Lewis when I jump in the ring. Feel sorry for him. That's right. Get me amped up, fueled up, brother. We can get in the ring. Amen. Woo! Kick it back. Amen. Get excited about Jesus. Get fueled up, amped up, disciplined, my friends. And I'll tell you, we need to be disciplined for Jesus, my friend, and disciplined, doing what He's called us to do, pressing on and pressing forward. Paul tells us that a competitor goes into strict training. He beats his body in subjection. He is strained and pressed on like a bodybuilder who adds more weight with extra reps in order to increase his muscle mass. Paul felt the burn and pushed on and passed it. Maturity in Christ doesn't just happen. It takes hard work, my friends, to be disciplined in the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4:7, a part of that verse says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself unto godliness. My friends, it takes that exercise as a Christian to be disciplined in that arena, my friends. You've got to be prayed up. You've got to be studied up. You've got to exercise yourself unto godliness. You've got to practice what you preach, live what you teach, walk the walk, talk the talk, prayed up, studied up, disciplined, so that we can win the battle against Satan, my friend. Well, we can defeat him. You and I have to be disciplined. Hebrews 12:7, it says, "If you endure chastening or hardship, God dealeth with you as sons, my friend. As there are no shortcuts to peak physical condition, there should be no shortcuts to peak out into spiritual condition, my friends." No shortcuts with God's ministry. No shortcuts with his word. It takes work. It takes time. Jacob, get on the floor. It takes time to build up. Come out here in the center. It takes time. He's a young man. He's tough, right? He's strong. Turn around. You're not sitting down. What's wrong with you? You're doing push-ups. Get down. Sitting on, he's doing push-ups. Come here, sweetheart. Come here for a minute. You scared? Come here. Where's me a little kid at around here? Where's a baby in the house? You got a baby over there, I see. Come on, right, here we go. Let me hold this baby for a minute. I'm going to go rob a visitor's baby, and they don't even know him. I promise I'll bring him back in a little bit. My wife might love him and want to keep him. You know, it's like Jacob. Jacob's over here. You know, and I'm going to push Jacob. Jacob, I want you to do a push-up or two. Jacob, keep doing some push-ups. All right? Jacob's doing some push-ups. Now I'm going to stress him out with baby poop. Jacob's doing some more push-ups. He's doing it. He's got some weight on him. Now I'm going to put him some more. I'm going to put him under some more strain and test. Come on, son. I don't weigh but 150 pounds. What's wrong with you? Oh, he ain't nothing but a wimp. Y'all see that? Amen. Thank you for letting me have your baby. I get him later on and take him for real. Oh, Jacob. You know, he was big and strong doing his own thing, wasn't he? Come on back over here. You ain't done with you. Get down and do a few more push-ups. He was pretty good doing his own stuff, wasn't he? He was pretty good when I added about 12 pounds to him, wasn't he? I'm stressing him. Come on, boy, you can do this. Come on. Come on, Jacob. You can do this. Come on, Jacob. Come on, Jacob. Come on, you can do it, boy. You can do it. Look at there. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. See, Jacob couldn't do it earlier when I put 150 pounds on him. But when I'm there and I'm coaching him, and I'm telling you, you got 200 people just watched you, you wimp. You couldn't do that. And I'm coaching him. Say, come on, Jacob, push. You can do it. And I eased a little bit more weight on him. And a little bit more weight on him. Until the last push-up he did had all my weight on him. But I eased him into it. I coached him into it. I built him up to it. And my friends, he disciplined himself to be able to make those push-ups happen. And it comes, my friend, through exercise. It comes through being disciplined to push on and keep pushing on for the glory and the honor of the Lord. It takes that. Vince Lombardi said this: success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win, and you have to pay the price to get the point to the point where success is possible. Most important, you must pay the price to stay there. Football is a great deal like in a teacher that works. Sacrifice, perseverance, competitive drive, selflessness, and respect for authority is the price that each and every one of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile achieving. Discipline, disciplined to be able to do that. Team, working together to accomplish what it is that God has commissioned and want us to do. The commissioning, comforting, suffering, making it happen. Not only, my friend, the third trait of a Super Bowl Christian is determination. Not only, my friend, do we have desire. Not only do we have discipline, but, my friend, we have determination. Determination to get the job done. The third trait is determination. Focus and commitment, in other words, determination will determine whether or not you view Christianity as a recreational sport or as a serious pro competition. My friend, I'm going to tell you right now, to be a part of a Super Bowl team, be a Super Bowl Christian, it takes, my friend, discipline. It takes perseverance. It takes determination to do what God has called us to do. Unfortunately, commitment is dying out in American life, my friends. Dying out. It's a quality known prior generations. Unfortunately, the baby boomer generation and the younger generation, my friend, they ain't cut from the block of the same wood that our grandparents and great-grandparents were cut from. Things are made too easy for them today. You know, just give them a computer and they think that's working. Got it all done. You know, it's not like it used to be. It takes perseverance. In Philippians 3, Paul said this. He pressed on towards the goal. He focused and committed to completing his own Super Bowl. He didn't give up when it was 4th and 2 inches. He kept in the game. He kept his mind focused on doing what the Lord would have him to do. Vince Lombardi also said this. The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of the chosen field of endeavor. Once a man has made a commitment to the way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call the heart power, the real power, the will to do. Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success. Being committed, being committed. There was a quarterback that took a young quarterback on his side named Lou Holtz. He took this young man and began to work with this young man. He began to have him as a quarterback. Come on up, Austin. He began to work with him as a quarterback. When this young man first started out being a quarterback, first started out and a man would break off and run a pattern. I'm going to run to the right. You throw it to the left. Break out, or I'm running to the left. Running in the left, he throwed it to the right. Then he'd get back and say, man, that wasn't what you're supposed to do. Or we had a pass. And man, I'm running for a deep ball. Throw it over my head. I'm running down. Looking. Man, he throwed it over my head. Well, old Mr. Lou Holtz said, son, I'm taking you under my wing. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get your dartboard game, okay? Think of this as a dart. And I want you to back up about 5 feet from that dartboard game. And I want you to take right here, and I want you to throw darts every day for an hour. I want you to throw a dart. I want you to throw a dart. And I want you to try to hit that bullseye. Keep on throwing that dart every day for about an hour. I want you to throw that dart. After Lou Holtz spent his time with this young man and told him to go buy him a dart game and told him every day to go home and throw darts 5 feet away, he put him back on the field. He called a call and the play was made and he took off running. And my friends, that young man ended up winning the Heisman Trophy the year later because of Lou Holtz. My friend spent some time with him. Lou Holtz got him disciplined. Lou Holtz got him determined. Determined that he was going to make that young man a quarterback he knew he could be. And my friend, it's something as simple as putting a dartboard up there and taking your darts and throwing it until you get to the point that every time you released it, you hit the bullseye. This young man did that. And in a year, he won the Heisman Trophy. My friend, determination. He was determined to pour his heart out into him. My friend, we got to be determined as Christian men and women that we're in the game for the Lord and we're going to win it the way that God chose for us to win it. The fourth trait of a Super Bowl Christian is denial. The key to success in any venue is the willingness to sacrifice self. You got to have denial. Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, it said, let us lay aside every weight and which the sin which so do easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. To sacrifice is to give up something for a specific purpose. To sacrifice, you have to pay a price. My friend, I promise you, when the New York Giants get on the field, and the Patriots get on the field today, I'm going to promise you there's some sacrifices that have been made. I'm going to promise you they have practiced like they've never practiced before. I'm going to promise you they've studied films like they've never studied before. They're going to know every move and every blink of the eye that quarterback's going to make if you're on the defensive side. The offense is going to know every move that they practice and everything to do sneak plays and trick plays and screen plays and whatever. They're going to have it down. They're going to bring their A game. There's going to be some self-sacrificing today. There's going to be some men that are probably going to be playing with some kind of broke bone somewhere, sprained ankle or whatever. But my friend, there's a game to be won, and they're not going to be deterred from that. We need that same mentality as Christian men and women, that we're going to self-sacrifice whatever it takes for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Self-sacrifice in that. It's going to take self-sacrifice to get the church to grow. It's taking sacrifice to get $20,000 in the building fund. It's going to take sacrifice for you to witness to people, for you to invite people to come to church, for you to spend some time in God's Word, for you to do business in prayer. It's going to take sacrifice on your part and my part, my friend, to be the Christians that God wants us to be. It's going to take denying ourselves and seeing that God is worth it all. Denying buying us, this Super Bowl Christian, with sacrifice. They will sacrifice things and give up things, my friend, that will take up residency in our life. They will sacrifice the petty sins that some of them call it. They will sacrifice the burden sin of carrying the cross for others. They will give up their freedom. They will take up submission. My friend, they will give up of their time. They will give up of their thinking. And they will give up of their actions to radically change who they are as Christian men and women. We are to be able to deny self, because it's not about us. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. Until we get in that place that we sacrifice ourselves daily to the Lord, my friend, we're going to be ineffective until we move ourselves off the throne and let Jesus be the Lord of our life. Let Jesus be on the throne of our life. Until we get to that point, my friends, we're going to be ineffective as what God desires to use for you and me. We've got to have self-denial, deny ourselves. The beauty of sacrifice and the burden of sacrifice is that it's not just a one-time event. A Super Bowl Christian, like a Super Bowl athlete, you have to continue to train. You have to continue to sacrifice. There is no off-season as a Christian. Amen? There might be off-season in football, but there's not an off-season as a Christian. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 12 months a year, 52 weeks in a year, whatever, 365 days, we're required to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. There is no off season. Paul did not rest on his laurels, nor even when he was old did he take a break. He continued to press on. He knew the goal line was still just a few yards ahead. He knew the goal line was still just a few yards ahead. He didn't reach it until he closed his eyes in death. The final trait in the element that ties the previous four together and giving them shape, the last trait is distinction. My friends, I'm telling you today, when the Patriots and the Giants hit the field, there will be some distinction that is made. There will be some folks that will stand out. There'll be some plays that'll be amazing. There'll be a team that'll be winning. There will be some distinction, and my friend, in their life. Charles Reed, an English novelist and dramatist, wrote this. He says, "So an act, listen to me. So an act, and you reap a habit. So a habit, and you reap a character. So a character, and you reap a destiny." You follow me? Oh, listen to me. Without exception, very successful Super Bowl teams has a game plan that integrates the elements of their training into a winning strategy today. For Super Bowl Christian, character is the element that integrates and infiltrates in our life a desire, a discipline, a determination, a self-denial together that will make you a Christian of distinction, my friends, when you get serious about God's work and God's business. The Christian can be defined as Christ-likeness. To look no more like the Savior was Paul, who trained so hard. My friend, we are to train and give up and take on those distinctive characteristics that God has called us to do. Philippians 3:10, it says this, "That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." That distinction, Paul acknowledged that he was not yet there, but he was moving in that direction. Each day he drew closer because he had a desire, because he was disciplined, because he was determined, because he was dedicated, because he was committed, because he was focused, because he was willing to deny self, he developed a godly characteristic which made him distinct from any other Christian in the Bible. He had a distinction. My friend, it's our prayer that we have that this day. Paul lost his life to a Roman sword. With the drawing of his last breath, he crossed the goal line of glory. The time clock has sounded, and he had won the game. Paul was a Super Bowl Christian. Waiting for him on the other side was a prize that was greater than any Super Bowl ring. a prize greater than any Lombardi trophy. He had waiting for him, Paul, would there would be a crown that will last for all eternity, because Paul was a man that demonstrated these characteristics. He was disciplined. He was determined, dedicated, committed, and focused, willing to deny self to develop a godly characteristic. Oh, listen to me. In a little while, there's going to be a game that's going to be played. In the end, there will be one team that's going to win victoriously, that will emerge. It may be the Giants, it may be the Patriots. A trophy will be rewarded, rings will be presented, cash will be given out, and glory will be bestowed. Advertising contracts will be awarded, and one team will have the bragging rights for a year. My friend, listen to me. There is a greater game being played today. And this game has to deal, Danny, you guys can come back. This game has to deal with where you're going to spend eternity. My friend, we can win all the Super Bowl games we want to win. We can win all the Vince Lombardi trophies we want to win. We can win all the cash that's out there to win. My friend, you can have all that, and it's not going to gain you entrance into heaven. My friend, as Christian men and women today, as I said on the five things, five traits, my friend, we got to have a desire. We got to be disciplined. We got to have determination. We got to deny ourselves and be a Christian of distinction that stands out in a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. You and I have the answers right there in the Word of God. Amen. To become the Super Bowl Christian that God has desired us to be. My friend, are you ready to become the Super Bowl Christian? Because it takes dedication. It takes self-denial. It takes commitment. It takes a willingness to change, my friend, to be what God will have you and me to be. Are you ready to be the Super Bowl Christian? Maybe you've never asked Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Today he tells us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you call upon him today? Come forward. I share with you what you must do to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. This church would love to be your home. I'd love to be your pastor. Maybe you're here today and God's word spoke to your heart about how to become a Super Bowl Christian. Maybe you need to come up and pray and spend some time with the Lord and asking him to help you get to that point to where you can be a Super Bowl Christian on an amazing team that God has put together right here at Crossroads.